Good morning, Elevate. All right. Well, my name is Pastor Jason, and if you're just joining us this week for the first time, we've been in our baggage series, and in that series, of course, week one, we discussed what baggage is. We talked about how it's kind of like being a prisoner locked away by deception, and talked about really just, you know, dealing with the past, you know, taking a good hard look at it, coming to grips with it. And week two, we talked about what relational baggage is and how to deal with that. You know, because we do life, we do it with people. And sometimes people hurt people, you know, and sometimes we get hurt. Sometimes we may hurt others, but and sometimes unknowingly. But knowing how to deal with that and move past that. So that's what we looked at in week two. And today, week three, what we're going to look at is the bag that won't let go. Now, if you missed any of this series, I encourage you to just go online, check it out. It'll bless you. I know that there's been a lot of people who have been greatly impacted by this series, you know, and it's a good thing to just remind ourselves again that there is no mountain that God can't remove from your life that has stood in your way, in the way of the destiny that He's purposed for you. Amen? Amen? So, well, again, just so excited for the word here this morning. So we're going to look at our focus scripture as we've been in this series, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. It's a great and powerful scripture. I love the way it's worded here in the Message Bible. It says here, "Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace." Have you been forcing it? Listen, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Grace. "I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Amen. Amen. Powerful, powerful piece of scripture. So, in looking at that, you know, I can't help but think, you know, so often in life when we're dealing with baggage, it can be like, well, it can be like an article of clothing that doesn't fit well, all right? I mean, and so many of us, myself, over the holidays may have experienced that. So you know, I mean, hey, the shirt may fit well. You know, the jacket may fit well, but, you know, them trousers or those pants, man, ain't fitting so well. You know, you can't even take a full breath. It's horrible. You know, you're afraid to get around people or afraid to go to that event because, you know, if you bend over, it's like, oh, man. So there you are. But you know, I mean, and that's what happens a lot of times as it relates to baggage. Baggage is, you see, it's ill-fitting. It's ill-fitting. It's not what He purposed to fit you. But He has something that He purposed to fit you. And we're going to look at that. Okay? But let's talk about the baggage that won't let go here. The bag that you never get rid of. It just seems to stick with you. You know, and a lot of people, when they come into their relationship with Christ, you know, there's freedom there. There's freedom there. And amidst all that we're going to talk about here today, please know this, that if you try to do any of this, if you're trying to do any of this that we're going to talk about, trying to do it without Christ, well, hey, good luck. Because He is the power, He's the source that will give you the freedom that you so desire and so need. So often it's a matter of surrender. It's not a matter of you trying to make something happen. It's a matter of you deciding to let go of that area. So what happens, a lot of times people will come, they'll give their heart to the Lord and confess Him as Lord and Savior of their life. But then there's this one little area over here, and that's what we're talking about today, that maybe they just had a hard time letting go. Got freed from everything else, but there's one little area over here. Maybe they've identified with it and just said, and they've just reserved themselves to the fact that, well, this is something that they always have to deal with. That's a lie. And will you, I guess today is, will you surrender? Will we surrender that area of our life? Whatever it may be. The bag that won't let go, it just seems to stick with you, like chewing gum on the bottom of a desk. Have you been there? Ugh. Ugh. It's like, you know, the desk can look all nice and pretty. You go pull up, you got about 45 minutes you're going to be in that class. And sure enough, you're getting everything laid out. You got it all looking nice and everything. Put your hands underneath the desk and, oh, man. How many in here have done that? Have you? But oh, my goodness, you know. So, but it just sticks with you. Like mama's spit. I think they should bottle mama's spit. Get anything off. Oh, yeah. But it, like, sticks with you. You know, when you were a kid, you had that toothpaste right here. You was getting ready to go in the school building. Mama said, oh, honey. And she, and all day long, you smelling mama. Baggage. You can get freed from that today. So, Lord, forgive me. All right. So, but baggage, you know, you've tried everything. You've tried prayer. You've tried resolutions. You've tried self-help. My Lord, you tried hypnosis. You know, nothing seems to work. You've asked, why do I keep making the mistakes? Why do I keep doing this? Why am I so resistant to change? Why do I do the things that I know are bad for me? I'm so very discouraged, and I need help. We all of us have felt that way at times. You're not alone. You know, the things that you want to do and you end up doing, the things that you know you need to do and you ought to do, but you don't do. Things that you know are bad for you, you do. You have good intentions, but you get caught in that cycle of failure over and over again because that baggage, that one thing that you had yet to surrender. Why does that happen? Because good intentions, can I tell you right now, they're not good enough. It takes more than good intentions to change. It takes far more than desire to change your and our lives. We're going to find out today what it takes. What does it take to change your life? Again, if you don't remember anything else, remember this. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, it actually speaks to how grace will be your and my teacher when it comes to these things, when it comes to learning how to master over them rather than them master over you. If you remember nothing else, remember grace. Grace is how you overcome. It's how we overcome. Romans 7:15 in the New Living Translation says, I don't understand myself at all, for I really want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do the very thing that I hate. I'm so glad that God's got people in Scripture that we can relate to. Here's Paul. Paul, I think Paul was, you could say he was probably on fire for God. Yeah. He's probably pretty zealous, pious guy, you know, full of the faith. But yet Paul, he had baggage that he had to learn how to deal with. And so you're not alone. We're not alone. One thing that we can learn from this is that, guess what? Transparency, getting real, coming to grips with it, that's not weakness. No, there's strength there. So, baggage. That baggage that won't let go. How does it operate? It seems to follow a certain pattern. See, it wants to become a part of your identity. there in your message notes. If you're following along in your message notes, it becomes a part of your identity. We say it this way, well, I'm a smoker, or I'm an alcoholic. And I don't hear what I'm going to say. I'm not knocking. There's some great programs out there, okay, that have seen a lot of great success and getting people to again, come to grips with the facts that have occurred in their life, okay? But I believe very strongly that we can get to a place after coming to grips with it, calling a spade for what it is. There's a place that we can come to where we can look to the truth of His Word and what it says of you and I and who we are. And we can say, no, I'm no longer that. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. See, Satan wants us to identify with the baggage, to just get you to resolve yourself to living with it. Because, well, he desires to master you. I'm reminded of a shark has a lamprey, which is it's another creature that attaches itself to the shark. Okay? This powerful creature that rules the oceans in so many ways has this lamprey that attaches itself to it. And it feeds off the shark. Okay? And so, in so many ways, baggage is like that very thing. It's like a parasite. It feeds on you. And then it'll whisper to you. It'll whisper to you. Hey, this is just part of you. This is who you are. This is who you are. This is who you are. Just part of you. Because heaven forbid you should identify it for what it is. Hey, wait, that is not my lot. You are not a part of me. God has made me to rule over this thing. Heaven forbid that happen, because then you may just find a rock out there in that ocean, a rock that is higher than you, a rock that is called Jesus Christ, and you may just knock that lamprey, that parasite, that baggage, whatever it is, off. So, again, he wants it to become a part of your identity. Satan wants you to internalize it, your addictions. He wants you to become a part of a lie. A lie. Another thing that the baggage does in the cycle in which it moves is you feel increasingly hopeless. Increasingly hopeless. Because what it does is it's always pointing back to the facts. You messed up here, you messed up there. Oh, mom and daddy, they were this way, so you'll be that way. You'll never be that. Maybe this, but you'll never. It lies to you. And in doing that, it always points back to the facts, but never to the truth of God's word and what God has to say of you. And because of that, the facts, they've already occurred. There's no hope. But the truth offers us hope. And hope, you see, is connected to faith. So you have to make a decision to exercise faith. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But let's look again here at the pattern. The pattern of baggage, how it works. You feel increasingly hopeless. The next thing, you become defensive. Someone says, you have a problem. And what happens? You become defensive. Because after all, you've identified with it. It's part of you. You feel like they're attacking you. But it's not. They're not attacking you. Matter of fact, they may just be exercising love toward you and concern. You become a slave. It tells you what to do, how to act. And that's bondage at that point, friends. That's bondage. It may be a lie. But at that point, it's bondage, and it's like being locked away in a cell that's not really locked. But you're so convinced. Next, the very last part of that, the cycle, what I tend to see so very often, saw it in my life as a young man who early on started questioning identity a lot and wrestled with depression really, really hard for a few years early on in my life, in my early 20s. Battled it very hard. Then it comes along and you begin to lose your life. All because we choose not to surrender. And we choose to wear that ill-fitting thing. This is Satan's ultimate goal, to keep you from being effective. He comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. Romans 6, 12 through 14 says, "Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. Sin is no longer your master." If you've named Christ as your Lord and Savior, sin is no longer your master. That baggage is no longer your master. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Wow. Wow. Folks, we're not loved because we're good. We are good because we are loved. Let me ask you a question. What has mastered you? Could it be food, drugs, alcohol, internet, gambling, television, spending? Perhaps that's why they call it MasterCard, MasterCard. So, hunting, sports, work. I borrowed that one. Some think, nothing masters me. Well, let's find out if we're mastered. Answer these questions, okay? Do your family and your friends say that you have a problem? Do you continue even though you're hurting people? Do you arrange your schedule around it? Can you go 1 week without it? Is it leading you to isolation? Lord knows that's one of the things the enemy wants, get you isolated. Are you trying to keep it a secret? If you answered yes to three or more of those, you're probably being mastered by something that's not your master. Break free. Break free. How do we do it? 2 Corinthians 3:17. "Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If you've named Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? He talks about how His Spirit came to dwell in you, with you. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It's relationship with God. And exercising that relationship with God. Where is it that I experience the breath of another individual at its greatest intensity? It's when I'm face to face with them. Or at least, if I'm in conversation with somebody, guess what? I'm probably going to experience their breath. Hopefully they had a Tic Tac or two. Well, the word that's used for spirit here is actually talking about God's breath, his breath, the breath of life. So I encourage you, I encourage me, spend time with him. Let him breathe on you. Whether through his word or prayer, spend time with him. So it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. In Galatians 5, 1. He set you free to be free. He loves you. The first thing we have to do is you got to come to grips with things when it comes to the baggage. Can the excuses. Point one, can the excuses. No more, no more. This is it. No excuses today, okay? Now, right now. Make a choice to either deal with it, let him deal with it, surrender to him to deal with it, or continue living the lie. Jesus told the story about a guy who was inviting people to a banquet. In Luke 14, 18 through 20, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I just bought a field. And I gotta go and see it. Pretty sure you could see the field tomorrow. Be there. Or please excuse me, another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Or please excuse me, still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. I'm just asking them to come to a banquet, a wedding banquet, a place where they would experience something great, a celebration of sorts. And actually, it's far greater than that. It's about a relationship that will enrich their lives forevermore. But maybe if we go to it, maybe he'll see. But what if we go to it and we don't measure up? You can't measure up on your own effort. He qualified you through his son. That's the measure up right there. Come to him with it. You're not going to scare him with your baggage. He's not expecting you to come to him and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I did. It's not what he's looking for. He's saying, come to me. That way I can take that thing off of you. And he'll be glad that you did. God wants you to experience life. To experience life. And excuses, well, they tend to get in the way. Some say, I tried, I can't. And so they read aloud together Philippians 4:13 here, though, what it has to say about that. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do a few things. I can do the 95% over here, not this 5%. Is that what it says? It says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Through him who gives me strength. You can with the power of God in your life, but you got to choose. That is the one thing that you have to do. You have to choose. Will you walk with him with that issue, whatever it may be? Will you let him shine the unforced rhythms of grace as you walk with him in that area of your life? Either deal with it or continue living a lie. And the crazy thing is when we deal with it, we find out that actually he's the one that's dealt with it. Point two, how do we come free? You got to cut the ties, all right? 1 Corinthians 15:33 through 34. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you are and stop sinning. If there is something or someone that is pulling you down, get rid of it. Internet, friends, TV, movies, get rid of it. Pastor Kyle had just talked about identifying unhealthy relationships. Unhealthy relationships is anyone that's keeping you from God's best in your life. And I'm not talking about not going out to the lost. So don't try to spin it that way and make an excuse. Because who's influencing who? If darkness is influencing your life to baggage that you've been carrying around, then you're probably not helping them too much either. Cut the ties. And I'm not talking about husbands and wives. I'm not talking about cutting the ties there. No, heavens no. So no, you're one, okay? But as it goes for friends in other relationships as we walk life out, you may just have to cut ties and trust God. And that can be hard. It can be difficult. But I promise you, you'll be better for it. Some of you are thinking about things. You're thinking about things right now. Just do it. Get rid of it. You want to be free? Do you really want to? Are you serious? James 4:7 says, submit yourselves then to God. And it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Just resist that voice. Resist that urge. And the way I'm telling you again and again, you do that, you look to what grace has to say of you. Look to what grace has to say of you. How he values you. How he sees you as his beloved. How he sees you as the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Look to that. Look to that. And you'll find strength to resist. You'll find the strength to resist. You know, my wife and I had the pleasure of leading a group called Freedom, a small group called Freedom, this past spring. It's a powerful, powerful, powerful group. And doing that alongside some wonderful co-leaders. I'm so pumped for it coming this fall. And I encourage anybody in here that's dealing with baggage, okay? Check it out. Check it out. You know, we saw a lot of people get free. A lot of people get free. And so much of it had to do with the very things that we're talking about here. Coming to grips with some things and making a choice. Making a choice to let God's grace deal with it. Trusting God, that God knows better than us on how to deal with that. Trusting him and letting go of it, whatever it may be. We saw a lot of people, man, receive newness in their life like they've never known before. A beautiful, beautiful work. It works, friends. It works. He has freedom for you. Freedom. But don't wait until this fall when those groups start back up. If you're struggling with an issue, get help today. Get help today. Surrender unto him. If you need, come and find us, the pastors. Come and find some of us leaders. Just get real. Just get real. Ain't nobody gonna look down at you. Not here. Mm-mm. No. We all mess. We all mess. You know, pastor always says, you know, I got issues, you got issues, we all got issues. If you don't think you have issues, that's your issue. It's true. So, Paul had issues. Fill the void. Fill the void. You want to get freedom? Do you really? Are you serious? Fill the void. You got to replace the old love with a new love. A new love that's already there, waiting on you. Let his voice speak into that life. Open that room. Open the door to that room of your house. And I'm speaking of you, your body, your soul. Open the door. You say, it's dark in here. Open the door. You turned on the lights everywhere else in the house. Open the door to that room. It's dark in here, though. What if he sees my mess? Open the door. He's knocking. Let him into that area. And watch, you won't have to work to get the light to come in there. All you have to do is open the door. And it'll flood in. And the darkness will be driven out. So, fill the void. You got to replace the old love with a new love. With the only one who can fill you. Fall in love with Jesus. Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk on wine, and permission here to fill that blank with whatever it is that's the baggage, which leads to debauchery, which means essentially just being led in excess by your senses. Whatever that baggage is, you've been led for a while by your senses as it relates to it and holding on to it. Stop listening to the senses. And one of the ways that we can do that is we can turn to God's word and what it has to say. The book, I can tell you right now, it's alive. And it has the power contained in it for real change in your life because it will reveal truth to you, the truth, how God sees you and who he is to you and plans and purposes he has for your life and how to deal with this and that and how to walk in the unforced rhythms of grace. The book is alive. Ephesians 5:26, we're washed by the cleansing of God's word. Another way is prayer. Prayer. Just know that when you come, he understands. Again, he's not scared of your junk. You are a gold bar. You are a gold bar to him that maybe the junk has you in such a way that maybe there's some mud on you. But you're still a gold bar. You're precious. Just come to him in prayer. Come to him in the word. Let him wash the mud off. We do prayer here Saturday mornings. Every Saturday, corporate prayer. Praying for our church, our city. Praying. It's powerful. Nothing like connecting with the Father. And letting the Father flow through you. Get an accountability partner. This is not in your notes, but Proverbs 28:13 says, he who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. An accountability partner. Somebody needs to know. Somebody needs to know. If you're the only one that knows your secrets, you're in trouble. Someone needs to know. Get somebody you can trust. And somebody that'll speak into your life. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. There's power in relationship. We are the body of Christ, the hands and feet of Jesus, and we get to be that unto one another. Find the appropriate people to find healing. You know, I want to encourage you to go deeper in relationships. That's why we do small groups here. Small groups are for real people with real issues. And it's a place that we can work him out. Another thing, get involved with ministry. Ministry, what the things, the outreaches or whatnot that your church is a part of. Or even here in the house, what's happening here on Sunday mornings. And we provide an opportunity for that in our growth track, which, by the way, we're having growth track 401 today. Yeah, oh yeah. Getting people connected with purpose. And I'm telling you, when you do that, you only have so much time, so much energy, that the baggage has more of an opportunity to become nothing more than a distraction. Because you're filling the void. Filling the void and being about the Father's business. Romans 12, 21, do not overcome by evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Wow. Overcome evil with good. And it is because He loved us, that we are good. At this time, there's a couple of groups of people I want to address. So maybe you're here today and you've maybe hearing this for the first time, and maybe you don't know what it is to have a relationship with that source of freedom that we've mentioned here today, that person, Jesus Christ. Today is the day of salvation. I pray that you would have courage today to respond to his call to your life and to enter into that life-giving relationship. Hey, are you tired of doing life your way, where you just seem to continually butt up against the wall? Are you tired of that? Am I speaking to somebody here today? Trust him. There's one way, one truth, one life, and it's Christ, friends. One way, and he has a way for you. And maybe you've been trying other ways and you just can't figure out why you don't have peace yet. It's because he does have something that fits you. He created you. And it's a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ. And to know God as Father God. So today, if you're saying, Jason, I want to know that. I'm tired of going around in circles over and over again. And I want that. I want to know this Jesus who sets free. If that's you today, on the count of three, I'd ask that you raise your hand. One, two, three. Okay. All right. Okay, now with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, I would ask that, church, if we would just repeat this prayer all together, including those who may have made that decision today to make Jesus the Lord of their life. To know freedom. Heavenly Father, we come to you and ask you to forgive us. Save me, Lord Jesus. I accept you as Lord and Savior. And thank you for qualifying me for every good work. Thank you, Jesus, for freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.